On this episode of Mechs and Men, Aaron learns that paint needs time to dry. Kanan goes on a shopping expedition, and Brent rolls snake eyes on a handshake. This is Of Mechs and Men. I am Kanan Hill, joined, as usual, by my two good friends, Brent.
It's me, Handshake.
And Aaron.
It's me, Aaron.
How we doing, boys?
Well, we made it back home after, a cumulative of, 6 hours of sleep over 4 days, so I'm doing okay, I think, hopefully.
You sound great.
That's great, because this week we're covering chapters 1 through 4 of an adventure we just all took.
At Gen Con 2023.
Let's get into it.
Prologue. Niceville, Florida, United States, Terra, 2nd of August, 2023, 0600 hours. We start with a cold open of Aaron picking up Brent in his Nissan Altima. We learn that both these characters are leaving Florida to travel to Indiana. They're going to Indiana because it's time for Gen Con. Not only that, but they have decided to participate in the Alpha Strike 350 tournament. And as you know, if you're going to play in the Alpha Strike tournament, you need to make a list. So this is where we jump back, and we see that they've been working on these lists for quite some time now. Well, Brent, tell me about it. Making a list for a Battletech tournament. Not so hard, right? That's got to be pretty easy. Just kind of bang one out. Just kind of, got on the computer one night. Just kind of type something out.
Yeah, no, not at all. So, actually, we spent the better half of 4 or 5 months just trying to basically understand the format. Not because it was overly complicated, but simply there wasn't as much info out there as to be expected to kind of be like, oh, this is what a base list looks like. Actually, that stuff kind of showed up a couple months before Gen Con. We started getting some info that was better. And I say all this that the listeners must have an understanding that we didn't actually visit the Wolfnet Discord, where there is an abundance of this information. And that's on us, first and foremost. But nonetheless, we spent many months trying to understand all this in a vacuum, understand the rules, the different game types, and building a list in kind of isolation, and for some reason not talking to anyone else really, except for at some point I made a little post on the Valhalla Club about what do you guys think? What do you guys run? And a couple people posted lists, and we were like, okay, this makes sense why they would do this. And there was lots of reverse engineering, and then we were choosing factions. Yeah.
They worked so hard. It was so funny. Really, though, I was...
And we didn't work smarter. We worked harder.
We simultaneously overprepared and underprepared for the tournament. We focused on the list building, not so much on the objective-based rules part of the game. We played some of the scenarios, and...
Not my fault. I wanted to focus on the objectives. We just ended up playing King of the Hill over and over again.
Also, I wanted to say that, anyone listening, when they say a list, they mean that's the little mechs they're going to bring, right? That's like the list of what you're bringing to the tournament. It is referred to exclusively. Everyone just says your list.
And for AS350, as well as a lot of other things, we use master unit lists to do that.
Yeah, and we had a lot of fun in the prep phase.
Yeah.
And during that time, when we had decided that we were going to do it, the Valhalla Club had a tournament and released an episode about that tournament, which really helped out. And on the Wolfnet podcast, Tommy Silent Sea Raven posted a direct list building episode. So we got to make sure we were doing some things right. We made some corrections. And we spent all this time, and we're spending all of this time in this episode talking about how much prepared our list. And that is so you can understand that we didn't prepare to travel. So a lot of lessons learned for our first attempt at making a big convention here. And Gen Con, for most of us here, if not all of us, is our first major convention that we've ever gone to.
Aaron, do you think next year, maybe the next convention we go to, do you think maybe you'll bring a list that's already painted?
Well, what's the fun in that?
Your stuff was mostly painted, right? The stuff you guys brought?
Mostly.
It was at the solid 75% mark.
Oh,
that's
man.
That's my favorite mark. You can prepare something 75% and panic do the last 25 anytime.
We'll get back to that.
That's a few chapters away from this point.
Yeah. We're getting ahead as usual. Spoilers.
Listen, I just wanted to point out they worked so hard. Okay, for months they were always talking about their lists. Every time I'm like, "What are you guys doing in here?" They're like, "We're working on the list. We're looking up some stuff." They're talking about BattleTech stuff I've never heard of. Weird trucks and motorcycles. There's guys on motorcycles. They're checking availability. They agonized over. I just want to shout out you guys. You know, there's a lot of
theory crafting.
There's a lot of, yeah.
That's the word for it, actually.
Like, did you have a good legitimate time? You know, looking back on your experience,
it was fun.
Putting
that,
like,
that's honestly, the theory crafting is some of the most fun. Sometimes the theory crafting is almost more fun than even like winning.
I immediately, upon leaving Gen Con, before we even made it home on the road, I was building my next list.
We were at a rest stop sleeping, and he was like, I've got my fire mandrels list. And I woke up like, excuse me, we slept 4 hours. What are you doing?
And listeners, that is something the author put into this story that we'll know as foreshadowing about the lack of sleep that we encountered over this story.
It should be noted that, however, when I saw how hard they were working on the lists, I decided not to enter the tournament because that looked like a lot of work. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to sit this one out. I'm going to hit it next time. I will. But I was like, you know, I'm just going to, you know, come hang out and just like watch you guys play. I did not build a list. I just wanted to say that. It was just you guys. And you did a great job. You worked so hard. But yeah, you got your stuff. You got your mechs. You got your list. You got your bags. You put them in the car. And you drove to Indiana.
The morning of is when I decided that I'd pack.
Oh,
so
man.
So that was the start of a bad decision.
I packed the night before, but that's because we were recording.
Yep.
I literally didn't have an ounce of free time going up to Gen Con. I had work, and then after work, I was painting, and then after painting, we were recording. It was tight is an understatement. I was flying by the literal seat of my pants, and then I stayed up all night packing, slept in as late as I could. Aaron came by, swung and grabbed me in the morning, and away we went.
How long was that drive? How many hours?
10.5 hours.
Yeah, it was 10 and a half.
We,
as the map told us.
We made some stops.
We got there in about 14, 15 hours.
I forced Aaron to make a pilgrimage to a Buc-ee's because it's...
Buc-ee's.
My first experience with a Buc-ee's was in Texas, and it was on Christmas Day, and I walked in, and I was, like, terrified. It was like this eldritch horror. I was like, this is a place God can't see. You know what I mean? Like, I was just like, yeah. What?
It's unnatural.
It's like a slight against nature. I was like, Aaron, you've got to see it. And Aaron went, yeah, this place is weird.
Yep. I walked in, was like, what are we grabbing? And you're like, you got to get the candy. So we grabbed some candy and then got back on the road. But that was still a long stop for grabbing some candy.
Yep.
So the show started on Thursday. So this was Wednesday.
This was Wednesday.
You guys left so that you could be there when the show opened.
Correct.
First thing.
I get it. So you drove all day.
Yep. So we only made one other stop, and that was Raising Cane's, which shout out to Raising Cane's.
Brent manhandled, forcing us to go to a Canes, so.
The people who run the Canes Twitter promised me that there would be one coming to Florida in the near future, so hopefully that's true.
So we took over an hour detour to pick up some chicken tenders.
Oh, that'd be a good podcast sponsor. I would shill for Raising Canes. We should reach out.
I will shill for them for free, but also like
we are.
But whoever hears it first, Post Malone or Canes, like listen, like get with us, okay? Anyway, moving on. We also stopped at a Best Buy, and we picked up a mic we didn't use the entire show, and then we were off for the last little bit, and we made it in to Indianapolis about what time, Aaron? Do you remember?
I think it was about 10:30, 11 p.m. Because we were looking at the will call hours the whole time. And we were like, oh, we'll be there. When we first started off, we're like, we're going to be there about 8 o'clock. There's nothing to worry about. Even with some stops, we're all good. So we strolled in about 11. Luckily, will call is open till 2 a.m.
Yeah,
that Wednesday.
I remember standing in the will call line about 0-100 hours. I was like, and it was long.
Yeah, but you know what? To the convention center's credit, we were like on one end of the convention opposite of will call. And we probably were only in line for like an hour.
I'd say about a cool 45 minutes, actually.
Yeah, we got in and out. And at that point, we were like, we got to go check in.
They managed that line that night better than they managed it the entire convention. They were like, get against the wall. It was very militant in their in their line control. It was very funny for as long as it was.
Yeah. And which is a shame that we got in so late because some of the other podcast community members there and shouting out about free gantries, hoping to grab our attention. But we were still driving very slowly, filled up on Canes.
No way. Wait, so people were yelling about gantries?
So yeah. Charles Gideon over from Wolfnet, as well as Bourbon from Valhalla Club.
Of course. The usual suspects. Yeah.
They were in line shouting free gantries, which totally would have worked. We probably would have fallen for it. But alas, we were nowhere to be found.
Yep. But that wrapped the big travel adventure for us as we left will call, headed to the finest quality inn money can buy, and crashed for the evening.
It's one of the saddest places I've ever lodged up in.
I can still smell it.
However, the rates were great.
It's a good thing that me and Aaron were Florida residences because we were used to the hot humidity that room offered us.
We also quickly found out that there's no elevator in that quality inn, so we had to lug so much stuff upstairs.
My like genius plan of I bought this like Harbor Freight modular toolbox that like where I could put all my stuff and it all rolls like a cart. It was like completely defeated by its mortal enemy, the stairs.
So we apologize for any quality in guests that had to hear loud crashing sound every time Brent rolled it up another stair.
I think we were mostly alone. We were like, let's just go with the cheap seats on this hotel. And I don't actually, I think everyone else had the good sense to at least stay in walking distance from the convention center. And for those of you that did, good on you.
Yep. Lesson learned.
Yes. That makes a lot more sense. We will be amending that in the future. And for those of you planning on attending Gen Con in the future, I highly recommend, it's probably a good time right now to get your hotel.
Yeah, book them early.
I, however, was not driving. I was sleeping because I didn't leave until the next morning because I live closer. So, yeah, you guys got in safe, got checked in, and they got ready for the big show.
And we'll have to see how Gen Con kicked off in the next chapter.
Thank you.
Chapter 1, Indianapolis, 3rd of August, 2023.
So, me and Aaron, we woke up. We set our alarms early. What time did we get up, Aaron?
We got over to the convention at like 6:30.
At 6:30.
We were worried we would not find any parking, which was an unfounded concern. There's a great parking system at the convention. It's very easy to get in there and find a spot.
We did some reconnaissance the night before, but we wanted to get like a better hold of things early on. And
we scouted our parking center.
Yeah, ample parking. Shout outs to the whole convention center area. It's well designed, I thought.
Yeah, you really could stay in that area and not have to ever like go anywhere that you wouldn't be able to walk to.
Yeah.
We showed up at 06 and there wasn't a lot of people that made the same choice as we did. There was an early line for...
Unless they were in there for Lorcana.
Yes, there was an early line for Lorcana.
Which we spent a little bit of time in that line. That's kind of the first thing after we were like, oh, let's go get in line for the convention.
Nothing was open yet. And so we were like, oh, this must be the line to get into the vendor hall. And we were mistaken.
Yep. Luckily, somebody came up and said, is this the Lorcana line? And we're like, we don't know. And then somebody in front of us said, yes. And we said, then we don't need to be here. And
Lorcana.
So me and Aaron malingered around. I was hungry, and we had hauled so much ass to the convention center that we hadn't stopped to get breakfast, so I went and grabbed a muffin and I think a Powerade from the food merchants.
That's tough.
It was his first time working, and he double charged me, bless his heart.
What?
We were too preoccupied and too busy in the line that formed. There was no one in the concession line before I showed up, and then... once I got in line and started grabbing stuff, other people formed up behind me, and I was just like, the juice wasn't worth the squeeze. So there goes $11 down the drain.
The muffin wasn't worth the crumble.
The muffin was indeed not worth the crumble.
We were all set. And then we found out, oh, we just have to hang out by the doors of the event center. And
which we
once again
wandered around like, until we found.
Yes. This also follows the same line as the breakfast line story, where we showed up to one of the tours and there was probably like, what, 25, 30 people out in front of it. We're all kind of standing around having a good time talking. And we knew we had the right one because they had a vendor door open and we could see the Catalyst booth. And we're like, there it is. There's our target.
This is about 8 o'clock, 0800 at this point.
Yeah, about 7:30, 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
So we hung around and then next thing you know, more people started showing up. And about 8 o'clock, between 8 and 8:30, it got so packed in there that you couldn't move. We got completely surrounded by people.
It became a sea of people. There was like nowhere to go. And there were people that were working the hall that keep needing to get through. And while there was a gap on one of the sides to get in that was kept open by an attendant, not everyone knew that that was there. So people were like bulldozing their way through the crowd, which meant everyone had to crunch over. And eventually, after so many of those crunches, there was just no crowd elasticity. I was internally straight up having a bad time, which was like literally you couldn't even move your elbows. If you need to get your phone out of your pocket, you were going to have to like inconvenience somebody with like a part of your body. It was insane.
You guys showed me a photograph that someone had taken, and you pointed out, you're like, that's us down there, right by the doors. There's a lot of people, right? Because they're all waiting for the doors to open, right?
Yep.
We didn't realize exactly what we were getting into, though. We kind of pulled a Forrest Gump, right? Where we were just like, oh, I guess we're at the very front of the line now. Aaron's having a great time. I'm having straight up a bad time. We're like 2 hours away from opening. They open one of the doors a little bit, and we are like, oh, there's the Catalyst booth. It's like right there, right in front of the doors. Me and Aaron make a game out of like picking out like people that we know.
Catalyst team members that we can see.
Yeah, and we're like, oh, that's the back of Ray's head, I'm pretty sure. And we're like, oh, that's got to be Randall Bills. I can see that goatee from here.
Oh, man.
We made like a little game out of like, we can see different members of the Catalyst team. Anyway, so the doors open. Luckily, prior to the doors opening, we got a sweet Gen Con disembodied voice to come on and be like, please, don't rush. If you do rush, we're going to pull you out of the crowd and you're going to have to leave. And so what could have easily been a human stampede ended up being fairly calm, though there was a little, there was some pushing and shoving, but this was no like Black Friday events like you see on YouTube. Like, for the most part, people behaved, and me and Aaron magooed our way into the Catalyst booth, I believe. And the Catalyst booth had a great system where they were like, you get in line, we're going to give you these numbers. That way, even if you want to step out of line and do something, like, you can come back and your number's still good, which was cool. But we ended up being, I think Aaron was 12 and I was 14. We're standing there and we had no idea that we were going to be like that, like in the front of the line.
So they opened the doors to the exhibit hall where all the booths and stuff are.
Yeah.
But so like all you guys just go in there. It's just like, oh, here's like thousands of people, you know, doors open. They all pour in. That's going to be pretty cool.
It was, in hindsight, it was okay.
I had a great time all the way through.
That's terrifying, though. Imagine being one of the guys working at the booth.
Yes.
And they're like, oh, you know, here comes the stampede.
It's one of those things where luckily the crowd didn't like go crazy, but like it very much could have been bad. Like I said, I'm not a crowds guy. And I think me and Aaron have decided in the future for Gen Con, if there's going to be exclusives, which we'll get back to the exclusives part in a second, because me and Aaron really messed that up.
Oh, yeah.
In the future, if there's exclusives, Aaron has volunteered himself to go on behalf of us because, that's not my thing. I'll be honest.
Yeah.
Crowds or exclusives?
Crowds.
I volunteered to throw myself into the people pile.
I love exclusives. Aaron was like, oh, I'm just swimming in a crowd of people. And I was like, I'm drowning in a sea of people.
Told him I was pretending I was kelp, leaning back and forth with the waves. We had a great time. Well, I didn't.
Yeah.
But so we did get to see the Catalyst booth right off the bat.
Is it that's the first place you went, was the Catalyst
booth? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We didn't even.
It was easy to be the first place because it was right there. We intentionally got in front of the set of doors that led directly to the Catalyst booth. And there, they literally were like straight on. And of course, we decided to show up wearing our newly minted Of Mechs and Men shirt.
Oh, they made t-shirts. They did.
That is an important part of the story.
It looks just like the album art, like in the podcast app, right? It's the square with the...
Yeah, we'll see. We have some pictures of us in it that we're going to post up.
They look great.
When we release this episode. But the Catalyst booth was a statement piece. Like, it really felt like Catalyst went all out here. The booth was big. It was open. You could walk around. They had cool dioramas set up, all the merch up on the walls.
And because of the ticket system, you were kind of encouraged to, like you weren't, like, it didn't feel like you were rushed. It was like, hey, take your time, look at stuff. Even, like, early on, and at... We felt rushed, me and Aaron. And so we were calling, we need to back up though. We're getting ahead of ourselves. We have some things to talk about. Our first encounter with a sort of staple of Battletech.
Oh yeah. So as we get up to the booth and we're getting let in, as we stop, I'm making small talk with the person collecting tickets, kind of looking into the booth. I'm like kind of scoping out, like, what am I grabbing? And then as I'm making small talk with the person collecting tickets, Brent looks and goes, oh my, are you Michael Stackpole?
I say this, of course, as I'm reading his name tag, which says Michael Stackpole, but I'm so dumbfounded that I asked a silly question, which of course Aaron's been talking to this gentleman for making small talk. And then I go, are you Michael Stackpole? And he says, yes. And then I say, holy moly, which is...
You did say holy moly.
Which is a weird thing to say to anyone, really.
Oh, yeah. So Stackpole was wonderful. We immediately, as subtly as we could, restrained our fanboying and basically we're covering the Warrior Trilly. It's amazing. And luckily... Stackpole got the signal and was able to let us in, and that saved us as we were fiercely thanking him for writing the Warrior Trilogy. And that got us in. And as I was saying, we got to go in, browse around, take our time, and really enjoy the Catalyst booth. We just started grabbing some of the stuff that they had. They had the new Grey Death Legion Force Pack.
Yeah.
Which my Barnes & Noble's has been out of stock since release. So I've been dying to get my hands on it. They had a bunch of cool stuff. We're going to cover like all the stuff we were able to pick up later on. We have a whole section that we'll talk about all the stuff. But the majority of the Catalyst team members are there. We're saying hello and thank you to a lot of them. That's cool. We're not trying to get in the way.
Which was something that we weren't expecting. Like, listen, me and Aaron talked about this and we were like, oh, they'll probably be some of the big guys like roving, but we assumed that there would be more general Catalyst workers working the booth. We weren't ready for literally like the Catalyst A-listers to be. We weren't ready for Stackpole at the door.
Yep.
And then Brent Evans is like, he's hovering by all the force packs. If he's listening to this, I profusely apologize for one of the worst handshakes I've ever given in my life.
Oh my God. He's still thinking about it.
I'm still thinking about it. So Brent, not me, Brent Evans, he's pointing at my shirt and he's going, I love the classic neural helmet, but he's going low with the point. And so I think he's going for a handshake. And so
no,
I shoot in for a quick manly handshake that he's not ready for. And then he goes, well, I guess we're doing this. And follows through. And so probably the most awkward handshake I've ever given in my life. I'm sorry, fellow Brent Evans, art director of Catalyst. Please forgive me for that weird thing that I did.
Never seen two people reluctantly shake hands before. And that cued Brent to say, we gotta go. And we did. We made our purchase, one of the first and many purchases that we will make over the Catalyst booth over the next couple of days, and set off.
Their booth is amazing, though, because I walked all around that exhibit hall and I realized, oh, Catalyst has like probably like the coolest booth. They totally have one of the coolest like booths. And yeah, it's really well structured. Like you said, you know, there's like a line. They only let so many people in at a time, but it's like a it's set up how you kind of, you go in, there's like the diorama, and then you go around the wall, and it's like well-designed. Seriously, I walked all the way around that place. I checked out a bunch of booths. And yo, shout-outs to the Catalyst booth, though. I was like, dude, our boys got like the sickest booth, though. And there was cool stuff there, too, right? They had like the hats and the mugs and stuff. It was
yes.
I loved it.
The hat and the mugs. So those were... Now, I don't know if the mugs and the hats are going to stay exclusives to conventions, but we knew about the hats because of in a social media post. Though in the post, they only showed three of the great houses. So it turned out, as far as hats go, they had all of the successor states, the 3425 successor states. They had... So Davion, Liao, Karita, Steiner... And then they had the four original invading clans. Oh, and they had Wolf's Dragoons as well as a hat.
And it was popping too because they're also doing that Shadowrun Kickstarter, right? They're launching they were doing a whole Shadowrun thing. It was cool.
Yep. So the booth also had a big section for Shadowrun.
It was popping.
So they also had quite a few mugs and... They were the four invading clans. They were the four original successor states. And then there was a few mercenary houses. There was the Northwind Highlanders, the Wolf's Dragoons, Kellhounds, and Grey Death Legion mug. And the mugs, which I wasn't prepared for because I'm not really a mug guy personally, they were really nice. And so were the hats. They also had... an array of enamel pins, which also you'll hear we all picked up quite a few of. Those are really the primary exclusives, as well as we later learned, 6th edition Alpha Strike. It was a first available at this convention, and they only had so many copies originally. And we were unaware of this because we would have immediately picked up the new copies of the Alpha Strike manual with all the new erratas.
Okay, that's right. There was some controversy here.
Yes.
You guys got the...
less controversy, more goonery, I would say.
More goonery. Shout-outs to MechWarrior for giving us the lowdown.
So then, after we wrapped up the Catalyst booth, we took our first run-through of the Iron Winds metal booth, picked up our first round of mechs. They had them all set up that you could just browse through, pick them up. And, yeah, we got those minis and waited for Kanan to show up. That was something where after we did that, we got off the convention floor and out of the craziness.
I crowd detoxed for like 40 minutes. I went outside.
And that's where at the Iron Winds booth, we bumped into the first members of the podcast community. We got to bump into Charles Gideon from Wolfnet and Bourbon from Valhalla Club. And they let us know that they were going to set up in one of the back ballrooms. We had a free play area that we could go set up some battle tech. And that became like our little haven away from the crowds for a little bit, and got to meet up with everybody for the first time, which was a ton of fun.
It was so cool getting to like put faces and names for all the fellow podcasters. We hung out, exchanged stickers and clownery. We know we were chomping it up until I got a phone call from Kanan.
Oh, this is where I arrived.
Indeed.
So this is where we get a scene of me pulling my Corolla into the parking garage. And
it's funny, I got this call. Raida Seneca asked us which one of you guys can do the Kanan impression, because we know one of you has to be able to. And so Aaron was giving it his best shot. And that's right when Kanan
impression.
Called. Yes.
Yes.
Interesting.
I think I did a really good job. But that's for those that were there. They could let me know how I did.
Please. Yes, I arrive. At this point, it's the afternoon because I just left my house sometime in the morning. Nice drive. And so, park the car. I find Brent on the street. And this is where you take me into the convention center. Well, first you take me up there so I can meet all the guys, say hello. And then you guys take me down so I can get my pass. You take me down to will call, which didn't take that long, actually. At that point, it didn't take me that long. And
they had a real good system going.
They do process you, though, through that thing, though.
That's the word. Processed is the word.
You get processed. It is efficient. But it's like there's some violence of action in the will call line.
They do a good job corralling all of us nerds.
Yeah. So yeah, this is where that's where you took me up and we just hung out. Right? That was so tight. I met everyone.
Yep.
It was cool. And that's when they're like, "Oh, it's Kanan." And I'm like, "It's me. Hello, I'm Kanan Hill." And no one does a better impression than me.
So yeah, that was a great time. Great first day.
We spent most of the day basically hanging out there. We watched some of the pros play Alpha Strike 350, which was eye-opening for a lot of things that we were doing wrong, which was great.
Yep,
that we
immediately.
I'm so glad we got the opportunity to see some of that stuff before we went into the tournament, because me and Aaron were like, "Oh, wow,
we would have looked even more foolish." Yeah,
we've been doing that wrong. Look out, BungleTech.
Now, by this point, everyone's mechs are fully painted, right? Everyone's
no.
Hold on, I'm reading here. Actually, hold on. Checks notes. No, actually, this is the point. After you said our goodbyes, we went back to the hotel, and you guys finished painting your mechs.
Yes,
I did. I just wanted to point that out, wasn't it?
No. I just had to do facing for... I just had to paint like directional facings on my mech. I painted red lines on the sides of my hexes. And then I did my best tired effort at helping Aaron do his bases.
It is important to note, we strolled back into the hotel around midnight, like 11:30 midnight. And the tournament the next day is slated at 10.
We were already on a deficit of sleep from the last night. So we started in the negative.
So I did as much as I could in the next coming hours. I'd say I got 99% done, minus some very ugly infantry.
I helped you, what, like about 3%, maybe?
No, that's very generous. You made a mess on one of my hexes that I still hadn't even based anything yet. And then you said, I think I'm going to go to bed. And I said, thank you. And
I was beyond gone. I gave you some poor advisement and then went to bed.
Yep. But we watched some videos. Me and Kanan worked on that. I probably worked till about 4 or 5 in the morning and then crashed out. And we got back up at about 7 to hit up the tournament. So we'll have to find out how the tournament goes on the next day in the next chapter.
Chapter 2. So, we open with a scene of Brent yelling about super glue. He's in the bathroom. I just remember he's yelling about super glue. You know, Aaron's talking about his infantry or something. He's like, I don't like how the dirt is on this infantry. I don't know what's going on. I get dressed because we got to get to this tournament. You guys throw all your stuff in those. Shout outs to those flight cases or whatever from like Hardware Freight. I got one too. They're awesome. Shout outs to Hardware Freight. They got them.
The Harbor Freight pistol cases.
Yeah. They're good cases to put your guys in. So
they worked great.
Yeah, they get it all. You know, it was a bit of a chaotic morning. I just remember that. It's like a bit of a blur. There was a bit of a Brent yelling about super glue. I do remember that. We get him in the car.
I like to be ahead of schedule always so that I can have lots of time and space to just have like moments of reflection and calmness and serenity. Yeah. I like to wake up and meditate in the morning. And what we got was, we're going to be late. Aaron needs to do his infantry bases. I had to help with infantry bases. I now have super glue covering like 45% of my hands. And nobody's eaten. We were like half bathed. And then we like frantically left and went out the door. And we are cruising on the interstate on the way back to the heart of Indianapolis. I believe, Aaron, are you driving or am I driving?
Oh, I drove that morning.
That's right. Which, you drove
which
that
we
morning.
Did give the keys to the guy that slept for like an hour.
Which
there was a lot of me saying I'm sorry to other drivers on the road as I made some questionable moves, both legally and ethically, to get into the parking structure to the convention. But importantly, we did make it to the tournament on time with a few minutes to spare and some infantry that still needed to dry.
Yes, your Mod Podge that you were using for texture on the bases were still wet for your first. What's so funny is the whole time he's like, we probably won't even play bunkers today. I doubt we'll even see bunkers.
So my infantry won't even, nobody will see how ugly my infantry are. And how they're not dry.
So we show up, we check in with the Kroll brothers. They take our list and set us up. And I'm frantically trying to like figure, I'm like, oh, like, where's my Excel? I'd never printed out my Excel sheet, so I got to pull it off of Google Docs. And I'm counting on my fingers, like how many points. And then we do, the tournament starts. But before that, there's the vote on Best Painted.
Oh, Best Painted.
Yeah, and there were some great painted armies there.
That was the big takeaway, is like, there wasn't anyone that stuff that I expected there to at least be some, like, kind of like some of those three thick coats. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Everybody did a good job.
Everyone did. They were at like pretty much everyone had like above average stuff at a minimum. And there was some really excellent stuff.
Absolutely. Which I couldn't take any of it in because my pre-built army list, which I had on a digital doc as well, crashed and was reverted back to a previous save, which only had one list built out on it.
This is so funny.
I spent that whole time like trying to get my army list rebuilt.
I think they call this an unforced error.
Yes. Yeah, most of our Gen Con errors are unforced. But no, big shout out to Mr. Brute, my first opponent, a AS350 veteran, and he did such a good job, and he was so patient with me being completely oblivious, because Bunkers was also one of the scenarios that we meant to play. We had scheduled to play it, to learn the rules, and we just ran out of time, and I was like, as long as it's not first.
And then it turned out to be the very first one.
Yeah. So he did a great job. He thrashed me in the match. It wasn't even close, but he gave me so much information to work with for my later matches. So like I said, big shout out.
Yeah, he crushed you, but yeah, he told you what you were doing wrong along the way.
Yep. Yep.
Mr. Brute, by the way, being a member of Armored Up, part of the On the Origins guys.
Yep, one of the many podcasters we spent the weekend with.
My first match was against, I don't want to use his full name, but his name was Kyle. And man, Kyle. I struck gold with Kyle because I also was like in a full panic, like what do I, I'm like, what mechs do I use? Like, I had all of it listed, but I was like trying to pull it out. And there is... The time component of Alpha Strike 350 is one of those things that it's very important to the game. And there's only so much setup time. And this was, and we were like frantically, or at least I was like frantically trying to get all my stuff out, get it organized, get the guys I wanted to use on the table, so on and so forth. I think I actually ended up not pulling out all of the guys I could use. I think I actually was underlisted, but I was so like frantic about what was going on that I was so frantic that first match that I just was like, well, we've already started deploying, so I can't bring in the proper amount of units now. But Kyle was so easygoing. I was like, hey, dude, this is my first tournament. I'm an experienced Alpha Strike player, but I've not played AS350, and there's probably a lot of little stuff I'm getting wrong, so like, hey, don't feel free to like correct me or whatever. And he was like, oh, it's fine, man. He was so extremely chill, and I want to say that like for a tournament, everyone was awesome. Like this was a theme of the entire day. Like everyone I went up against was so like, it was competitive, right? Like there was like, we were here to compete against each other, but there was no one there with like a mindset that was like, I'm here to screw the other guy. Everyone was like, you know, was very respectful, more than willing to explain things and talk through things. And that was something that, I was like really impressed with, how, not just how the crawl, but everyone running the AS350 and all of the opponents I faced were all just great with.
Yeah.
So my first match was with Kyle. He beat me. It was a good game. I feel like I totally had a chance. I made some poor choices. All in all, though, I had a great time, and I'm so glad Kyle was my first guy because, like I said, he was just the nicest man ever. And at the end...
That dude was cool.
He was so cool. And then at the end, he gave all of his opponents a salvage box. He pulled out a box. He pulled out a set of salvage boxes and was like, hey, man, I want all my opponents to... I'm like, I'm totally going to try and do this the next convention I'm at if salvage boxes are available. Because...
What a nice guy.
It totally took the edge off, like the loss, right?
Yeah, dude. My man pulls out, he's like, hey... I know you lost, but check it out. Bust like the rack of salvage boxes, like cracks a fresh case of salvage boxes. And he's like, here you go. A little consolation prize. What'd you get? You got a Highlander, right?
I pulled it from the center because like, I like to do the brownie thing where it's like, oh, I want the one without any of the hard edges. You know?
Did you really?
I pulled from the center. It's the most disrespectful thing ever. I'm like, I got to pull from the center.
I'm sorry, Kyle.
I pulled the center one and It was a Highlander, which I'm going to be honest with you, Kyle. If you're listening, that turned my day around. I was like, oh, you know what? I think I'm going to make it through this. Like, and
he did. I saw the light return to his eyes. Thank you, Kyle.
I love Highlanders, by the way. Well, I mean, most people do.
The big takeaway from all this, though, is we were worried about so much for nothing when going into a tournament. If you are out there and you are on the fence about whether you want to participate in like an AS350 event at one of these conventions or a local area tournament, it's a great time. People are there to have a great time. They're there to compete, but also just play Battletech. And we had, in some of my matches, I got to play against one of my opponents, Travis. He was also a first-time Alpha Strike tournament player, and we got to learn together. So a lot of these things you get to learn, you go in knowing, I'm not going to place the top. And for this particular one, if you didn't, you got to play in the doubles tournament the next day. So we were really excited, win or lose. And all the matches that I played along the way, I got to learn a ton. I feel so much more prepared and ready to go into another one where I wouldn't have any doubt that I'd be confident in all the objectives. Everybody teaches you so much through it. And it's just, it's a really, really good time. It is a day, a full day of playing Battletech.
It's really a full day of fun. That's what, after I pulled that Highlander, after I like chilled out a little bit, I was like, oh, we're like here to have a good time. And I took the first L. I think, you know, we can go ahead and we're not going to do the whole match by match thing, but everyone I played against was fun. As far as podcasters that we played against, I played against Derek from On the Origins of Battlemech. He wiped me. I put up a good effort, but he basically broke through my lines and crushed kind of my artillery setup, and I was done. It was a great match, though. I had a lot of fun. It seemed like Derek did, too, as far as the highlights. I ended up, all in all, going 2 out of 5, 2 wins out of 5, which was both better and worse than I was expecting. You know, hindsight's 2020, but I do feel like now I'm like, oh, I get, there's a lot of things I didn't get that I get now. And doing back through it again, I think I could have squeaked out 1 or 2 more wins off of some of the mistakes I made. What about you, Aaron?
So I also went 2 and 5 that day, but all my matches were very close. It did come down to the inexperience with the objective and time management. Those are two big factors time in those management. Tournaments. But funnily enough, while you were playing Derek from On the Origins, I was playing Chandler from On the Origins and Armored Up as well. And that might be one of my most memorable games of Battletech I've ever played. We christened it the Little Dudes Fight. And I'm sure just from here to next Gen Con, you'll see me and Chandler making reference to just some little dudes.
Just some small guys.
Many times. We really had a great time with that match. And everything else we played, like I said, you really pick it up quick and you start to understand like, hey, here's the mechanics that you're not paying attention to when you set up and you're playing, in our case, against each other. And that's where I would advise anybody, like I said earlier, if you're on the fence, hop in, take part in one, you'll learn it. It's a very streamlined system that teaches you everything you need to know. And I feel that the next time I take part in a 350 tournament, that I will do much better, hopefully.
I feel the same way. I had, like you, all of my matches were pretty close. I think Derek's was the closest to being
one-sided.
One-sided, where Derek kind of just like, he just like went all in. But there was one where the match was literally between 6 MOV, which was like, oh, man, it was just so close. And that was a fun match. That guy had a jump strong Xanathos.
But while we spent all that time playing in the tournament, like I said, it's a full day. Kanan was doing some field reporting on the matches, as well as taking the time to be able to walk the floor at Gen Con. Wolfnet, prior to Gen Con, did kind of a, here's your expectation of cons, including Gen Con episode. So we were aware of A, it was going to be very busy, and B, you're not going to have time to do everything at Gen Con. And through the AS350 tournament, we spent a lot of time in the game hall playing matches, enjoying all of that. But that didn't leave us a whole lot of time to like walk and see all the booths. So Kanan took the opportunity to kind of see everything and then fill us in on all the cool stuff we should see along the way. So Kanan, how'd that go when you were walking?
I saw so much. There's so much. I couldn't even see it all. Like the walking around the exhibition hall, all the booths and such, displaying. I just got lost in there. Some kind of like fever dream. Yeah, halfway through the tournament, I was like, I'm going to go check this out. And then, you know, everyone was like, what happened to Kanan? And then some hours later, I reappeared and they're like, what happened to you? And I'm like, man, I don't even know. I saw so much in there. I saw so much. So much happened. I played so many games and met so many artists, people and stuff. There's so much. There's like it's like mind-boggling how much stuff there is. How many people are there? How many different like developers, all these different tabletop games and like board games and stuff that I saw, demonstrations, all these card games, you know, artisans making cool everything, man. It's wild in there. You got to check it out. Man, that was cool. I had a great time walking around in there.
If you had to give like three highlights, like, you know, from the floor, non-Battletech related.
Well, I should say I did. That's when I went and checked out the Catalyst booth myself. And that was cool. That's when I was like, oh, dude, this is cool. And talked to those guys.
You spent a lot of time talking to some of the authors, right? You had some chit-chats with some of the authors.
I did. They were, yeah, it was cool. A lot of the writers were there. You know, I'm all about them books.
Aren't we all?
Oh, you know what was cool? I had a really good time talking to Philip Lee, you know, the editor. He edits all of the Shrapnel books, and he, you know, he's the guy who writes the Commander's Calls. Really nice guy. You know, I talked to him for a while. That was I had a really good time talking to Mr. Lee. Yeah, I had a great time talking with them, and I bought a whole bunch of books. I did. I cleaned that rack out as best as I could. I did. It was awesome. Oh, I did want to shout out. I got that game, Kabuto Sumo. Dude, check out Kabuto Sumo, dude. I just walked up. I played like a little demonstration. It's, you know, you push the little tiles around on the board. Listen, I won't get it. Just look it up. Kabuto Sumo. It's a good time. Yeah, I bought some stuff. I bought some art, bought some games, bought some books. You know, I went in there. I spent some money, as you should. You know, bring some money. Go walk around the exhibition hall. Have a good time. And you'll get some cool stuff. I had a great time. And yeah, at some point I wandered back to the tournament. It is funny though. I was like, man, I bet I missed the whole tournament. And then I got back and I was like, what'd I miss? And they're like, you missed one game. I was like, oh, I feel like I was gone for so long. But that was fun. That was definitely the highlight of my day. I'd never been to Gen Con before. I didn't understand the scope. Like, it's so large. You couldn't see it all, right? Every time I had kind of explored, it's like labyrinthian in nature. It is, man, it's so cool. I can't wait to go back.
You really need to be four people. If you wanted to see literally everything, you would have to separate yourself into four different individuals, and maybe you could almost see everything, maybe.
Yep. But no, it was definitely a highlight day there, being able to go into the tournament. After everything was said and done, we all got to relax, and the podcast community and some of the fans and authors, we got to go out and just hang out. We left the convention center and all hung out. So it was a great night. We were hanging out with the Wolfnet team of Andrew and Aaron Kroll, Tommy Silency Raven. We had Charles Gideon and Bloodbath and the On the Origins Armored Up guys. We had Mr. Brute, Chandler, Derek, and Jason Hanza was there, so we got to have some fun talks with him. Big shout out to Jedi Mech Warrior Bob. You know, we've talked about him many times in the show. He was there, so we got to meet up and spend a lot of great time with him. Had a lot of cool talks.
Oh, man, that was the best.
Yeah, I'll get the... And and Bourbon from the Valhalla Club. He was so much fun. All of them. I mean, it was just like a great time.
It was a pleasure to meet all of you gentlemen.
Yeah. It was something that I was like, man, I can't wait to go to the next con and hang out with all these guys again.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I feel like we made some friends, and it was cool hanging out with them.
Yeah. But that meant we also, once again, stayed up far past a reasonable hour. And I also...
Well, I think we accidentally kept some other people up, too.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, so once again, I think that was the night we rolled back into the hotel about like 4:30 or 5 in the morning. And we had a doubles tournament to take part in the next day, starting once again at 10 a.m. We'll have to find out how that goes for us in the next chapter.
Poorly. Spoilers. Poorly. It went poorly.
Chapter 3. We open with a scene of me driving Aaron's Altima, because you see, it's 9:55 a.m. and we still haven't parked at the car. So I have to drop them off on the street in front of the convention center and then go park the Altima. Yeah, I had to hot drop them in downtown Indianapolis. And then had to go park the whip. So that was fun. He was like, Kenny, you just got to take it. We just got to go. Grab the things. Go, go. They just had to run inside. They're like, we're going to miss the tournament. They made it, though, right? You guys made it. Everything
we made it
cool.
With like a minute to spare. Like, they were getting the tournament roster set up. It was great.
I think we were technically late by a minute.
Yes. Yes. We really just kind of strolled in as things were finalized. So... Wolfnet guys were great, got us in and immediately asked us what our team name was. Punted immediately. I was like, Brent, that's a you job. I am not ready to answer any questions this morning.
It turned out I wasn't either, because the name I went with was of a favorite girly beverage of mine called Jamaican Me Happy. That's what I went with.
Yep. So that was our team name for the doubles tournament that day. We were the Jamaican Me Happy team.
Yeah, I was parking the car. So
yes, our viable adult was not around to prevent us naming our team Jamaican Me Happy.
Which, and of course, so because we showed up late, we needed opponents to play, because there was an uneven amount of people in the doubles tournament. And so Andrew Kroll looked over at a very tired Charles Gideon and a pretty well-off Silent Sea Raven. He went to sleep at an appropriate time, it seemed, and said, you guys are playing them. What's your team name? To which they answered, Of Mechs and Men.
One of my favorite bits of that day. So our first match was against Of Mechs and Men, who took us down pretty easily. We were in no condition to play Battletech against them, so we are sorry.
That was a cool match.
It was actually, it was a good game. Really, Aaron's, like, it would have been closer if Aaron's dice hadn't gone cold on him the entire time.
Oh, that was a bad day for my dice. There was a point where I think that match, I threw probably 50 pairs of dice, and I think I landed 3 or 4 hits on, like, 7 and 8s. It was wild, but they rolled how I felt, and it was not great. So, but no, it was still a lot of fun. The double tournament format is great.
We were joking and smoking with Charles Gideon and Silent Sea Raven. And so all in all, it was a great round.
Yeah. You can't ask much more than having a great time.
That's right.
So you were defeated by Of Mechs and Men.
Yes. Yes. We lost our first round of Mechs and Men. We were glad, we could help them rise to even higher ranks. Those guys really deserve it.
Incredible. And just, I just want to reiterate, the doubles tournament is for the people who didn't make it into the top 8 the previous day. Those players went on to play in the finals.
Yes.
At the same time you're doing the doubles tournament.
Which I'm sure Wolfnet and Valhalla Club we're not going in depth into the tournament because those guys are going to have a great post Gen Con show where they're going to cover a lot of this information. So make sure once those episodes drop, you go listen to them, especially if you want to know more about the format. They're going to cover it in great detail. We cannot do it justice because we couldn't play it and do it justice. But like I said, it was a great time nonetheless. We did two rounds in the double tournament. Our second game, we got to play against Travis again. And that was a fun game. We made it through.
We took another L, though.
We did take another L. We lost both our games in the double tournament. And I might have been an anchor. But yes, I could not roll a hit to save my life. And so we did keep the bottom of the doubles tournament chart nice and cozy warm. But all in all, we got to the end. Of Mechs and Men did really well, though. So... third place in Of Mechs and Men.
Of Mechs and Men came in third place in the doubles tournament. And at the end, Gideon and Silent C gave us the, gave Of Mechs and Men the Of Mechs and Men trophy. Yeah,
which is a very cool trophy.
Which will go into our studio after those two gentlemen sign it. We did mean to get them to sign it the second and third day, but... we forgot to bring a permanent marker. So if you guys are listening, the next time we see you...
be prepared. Yeah. But no, it was a great... the whole tournament experience was so much fun. Great time hanging out there. That day, we kind of... I think everybody kind of wrapped up, finished the convention tour. I think it was about 7 o'clock. We went out, grabbed some dinner, got back to the hotel room. And instead of going to bed like we should have, we decided to start assembling
mechs. There's a theme.
Yeah, oh yeah, all poor decision making. And then Kanan busted out Kabuto Sumo, which Kabuto me and him proceeded to play till about 3 in the morning.
The game rules.
We had a great time. That was just like a cool way for my non-functioning brain to wind down. We had a blast and set us up for our final day at Gen Con.
Yo, hold on real quick, though. Google Kabuto Sumo, but check it out. You got to get the expansion with, like, the chairs and stuff.
We did bust out the expansions.
You got to get the expansion.
Had a wild time. But we'll have to find out how Gen Con closes out in the next chapter.
Chapter 4. It is now Sunday, August 6th. So this is the final day, right? It's Sunday. This is it. Day 4. We kind of had a slow morning, right? I feel like we kind of got out of there. It was like after the show had already opened that day when we actually finally got out of the hotel.
We strolled up to the show around 10-something.
Yeah. Yeah, it was 10 or 11. We had to clean out the hotel, get everything packed up. We were checking out that morning. So that was frantic as we, once again, well, some of us didn't sleep. So we threw everything in the car, checked out, headed over to the convention center, see what was going to go on. The show or the event hall closes early that day at 4. And so we were like, oh, you know, it'll be a good time. And we just kind of took it easy. We got to stroll around, see a lot of the booths that Kanan pointed out to us, said, you got to check this out. Did more shopping, bought more stuff. The Catalyst booth, again, I think fourth day in a row. And I think the whole time, the thing that really took me by surprise about the fourth day is I expected that to be the quiet day. I was like, oh, you know, everybody's seen everything. Yeah. People are starting to head out. And it was as busy as every other day. Maybe not the first day, but...
I think it was as busy or maybe even busier than the first day.
And it's funny, you weren't alone though. Some of the vendors and stuff I was talking to was like, dang, dude, Sunday usually doesn't hit like this. It's cool though.
We spent most of our time, I'd say, in the vendor hall after saying goodbye to some of the remaining Wolfnet and On the Origins guys.
Yeah.
And we spent a good chunk of time in the Ironwind booth hanging out with those guys who are really cool. I spent quite a bit of money in there on various mechs. We'll talk about that later, but cool guys. Yeah. It was cool meeting a lot of the Ironwind guys. Yeah.
Gen Con is great for a dude. You can do your Christmas shopping in August. I'm serious.
I did do some of that. Bought plenty of gifts to take home. And yeah, I mean, that's what it was. Towards the end of the day, we popped by the Catalyst booth. We offered
once again,
to help break
wasn't
down.
It, they were like, man, we're tired of seeing y'all.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, you guys again. We're like, what?
Yeah,
I believe working the checkout counter, and she was like, "What are you guys back again? Third day in a row?"
Yes.
We were like, "Yeah, we're sorry.
Can't stop buying stuff. Plenty of stuff."
We did too.
As we got towards the wrap up of our final purchasing at Catalyst, we did offer to help break down, and so after the convention closed, we stayed a little bit after and help take part the booth. It was really cool to see, though. I mean, there is so much that goes into that. They have a whole system, and the logistics behind getting all those things ready is insane. Yeah. It is awesome to watch them have that thing fully set up and then tear it down over a couple hours and prepare for even the next show during that time.
And we were helping take stuff down. I can only imagine the like the putting it up part seems like the more that seems
getting
like
it organized.
The more difficult side. Yeah.
For taking each thing.
Stack all this man, I was like, dude, shout outs to those guys.
Absolutely. And because they have such a nice system behind it, it's actually a lot of fun. We had a great time working. I mean, it's a lot of work, but we had a lot of fun helping out, moving stuff around, and doing our best to not get in the way and disrupt the system that they had going. But they had plenty of ways for us to get involved and to help out.
Totally.
Hell.
Yes.
Yeah, there was a little...
It was funny. That little adventure there...
You mistakenly put your bag on a pallet that got sent to like the Catalyst team's hotel. And funny enough, another individual also had his bag taken in the same manner. And that person happened to be Michael Stackpole.
Yeah.
And so you guys ended up walking over to the hotel with Michael Stackpole. How was that?
It was cool. He's a very nice man.
Yeah, he's very funny. We had a great time being able to kind of walk and talk with him a bit. Managed to track down Kanan's bag. Got to say thank you to Stackpole again for all the hard work he's done for Battletech. And there, got Kanan on the road.
That was it. That was it for me. But like, you guys stayed for a little bit longer.
Yeah, we hung out and helped out until they fully closed the event hall, and then we hit the road and headed back to Florida.
But you guys have a much longer drive than I have.
Wait, we actually we didn't originally plan on staying late, but we were like, it'd be cool to help these guys out. It seems like this whole thing's a lot. Like, we just pulled over to a rest stop and we took like a little 4-hour like nap, and then we going.
I took the time to build a list.
Yeah, Aaron couldn't sleep because I think when I'm sleeping in a nice comfortable bed, I sound like a slumbering bear, and so I don't think Aaron was able to get any sleep, so instead he made a fire mandrels list. That seemed like the thing to do.
And then, we just hit the road, and we were there the next day. Wasn't bad. I mean, the drive from Florida to Indianapolis is a pretty straight shot. You don't hit the road construction during peak hours, and you make it through pretty clean.
Yeah, we scooted through Nashville during non-rush hour, which is really, I think, from traveling from Florida to Indianapolis, that's the big one. If we mess that up on the way up, but we did not make the same mistake going back down, and so down relatively.
But that was it, right? That was Gen Con 2023 of Mechs and Men. We were there. It was cool.
It was nice meeting everyone that came and like said hi and stuff. It was great talking and interacting with you guys. It's always humbling when someone comes up to us and like, oh, we love the show and stuff.
Yeah, I highly recommend it. If anybody's on the fence about going to Gen Con or one of the conventions.
Or participating in like an AS350 tournament.
Yeah.
Just do it.
It's well worth it.
Totally.
Do let us know. We'll see you there next year.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it was cool. I got a bunch of cool stuff. I want to talk about this stuff I got. I want to do like a loot haul. I feel like we bought all this stuff. I didn't even really get a good chance to even see what you guys got. What'd you guys get?
So For what I took home with me, from the catalyst booth, I ended up picking up the first six editions of Shrapnel, which has been on my list for quite a while. And from there, of course, the Grey Death Legion Force Pack. I was so happy to be able to pick that up. The Black Knight Premium Mech. I only picked up one Premium Mech. Clan Buster. But, yep, had to grab the Clan Buster there. I picked up a hat. I picked up many patches. I love the patches, so I wanted
the patches
a good number
of
them. So I think I got like 4 or 5 patches.
Yeah.
Did pick up the Grey Death Legion mug.
Yes.
We had to rep our world's greatest boss, Grayson, mug. And the Alpha Strike Commander's Edition 6th edition, which we did get lucky going back after somebody told us that they were there and then they sold out. And
not just anybody. It was specifically Jedi Mech Warrior Bob. Thank you.
Yes.
For giving us the heads up.
And so we kind of magooed our way into being able to get a copy as they found some that they had in the back, the last like couple copies, and we were able to grab, each of us grabbed one of those. So you'll hear that in all the other lists. Then I picked up a great 2-set art piece of the Grey Death Legion by Anthony Scroggins, who signed it. It's awesome.
It's a pretty famous one. It's the Grey Death Legion landing in a, they're landing in a dropship on kind of a moon-like surface, and there's like a marauder out front and a rifle. You know, it's the whole GDL.
Yeah,
it's a great piece. It's been my background on my computer for some time.
And Anthony had some great prints available of it, so I was very happy to pick those up. And then for the Iron Winds booth, I did pick up the Apollo variant of the Ares. Had to pick up a super heavy there. That way, if I ever go against Dave from Valhalla Club, we can battle it out with our super heavies there. And then the Mars Assault Vehicle, the Crucible.
The Crucible.
Yep, it's pretty cool. The Tian Zong, the Mastodon, which they had at Gen Con. So I definitely made sure to pick up one of those, the Huron Warrior. And eventually, one of the other booths, I picked up the new painted Hextech buildings. Which
oh,
were very,
of
very
course.
Cool.
The Hextech buildings.
Dude, those are
shout
so cool.
Shout out to Hextech. Yes.
But that was my haul. So, Brent, what'd you pick up?
So, I spent way too much money, first and foremost. But I was like, I like justified it because I was like, I'm gonna buy all this stuff. It would be nice to not have to pay shipping on it. So, of course, I picked up some gifts for my other half first. I picked up some gifts for Alex, who's a Jade Falcon enjoyer, to say the least. And so I picked up a Jade Falcon hat, pin, and as well as the jumping variant of the Jade Hawk. Aaron picked up some stuff for me as well. He picked up the 6th edition of Alpha Strike and the Highlander's Merc Unit mug, which is awesome, by the way. And then Aaron also picked up for Alex the Jade Phoenix, the new Iron Wind Jade Phoenix model, which looks super cool. I'm going to have to pick one up as well. As far as merch, I picked up Russell Haig pin, Novacat patch and pin. I do wish there was a Novacat hat. I kind of understand why there probably wasn't.
A Nova hat.
Very good. And I ended up picking up a Clan Wolf hat. I picked up the Heavy Battle Lance Force Pack because I needed a cataphract for a friend. I picked up the Blakist Era TRO and the Rec Guide Classics Volume 1, a physical edition of Shrapnel 2 and A Question of Survival, the Premium Stormcrow TC and Premium Black Knight Clan Buster. I've been picking up almost all of the Premium miniatures. I missed those guys on the original list. They went, or their original listing on the Catalyst website, so I was happy to see them there and pick them up. Ironwind, I picked up a boatload of stuff. I picked up 10 Void Battle Armor, 2 Mastodons. I'm gonna probably go in for 2 more eventually too, but I had to draw a line somewhere. The new Sculpt Marauder, and they also had little dorsal gun kits for the Marauders. I picked up 2 of those. A Thunder Fox, Mad Dog Mark III, Viking 2C, and a Balak VTOL. I also, thanks to a hookup by Jason Hanza, I was able to pick up kind of a bucket list item I've wanted since I got into Battletech, which was an old unseen mini of the Marauder 2C.
You were very excited for that.
I was super excited about that. The Marauder 2C is the mech that got me. I wouldn't be here doing this podcast if it wasn't for that mech. And so I was super excited to grab that. I've decided I'm going to pay someone to like do that up for me real nice. I think I have a person in mind. We'll have to see. But I'm going to get it done up. I'm going to have them like build it and everything for me because I want it to be done super cool. I'm real excited for that one. So yeah, that was my haul.
Interesting.
Thanks again to Jason Hanza for setting that up for me. And what about you, Kanan? Would you come out with?
Oh, I got some stuff. I got a whole bunch of books for sure. Because it is cool. You know, you can get a lot of this stuff. You can, you know, order, but I was like, man, they just got them all right here, all this stuff.
And a lot of them were the new hardcover releases as well,
yes,
which looked amazing.
Yes, they had the new covers there. I got all the new covers.
The Grey Death Legion trilogy with the new Elden art looks so good, dude.
It's so good. Aaron got me a hat. Aaron got me a combine hat, a baseball cap, like the red. It's cool. Thank you, Aaron. It's so cool. I got it right over there. I love it. And I got some pins and stuff. I got on my backpack. What do I got? Smoke Jaguar pin. Huh? How cool is that? I love the pins. I got the Jade Falcon one. I got the House Leal pin.
Yep, you loaded up on this.
That is kind of a wild choice, though. Yeah, I got the... Anyway, cool. I love that stuff. I love the pins. I also got a bunch, some cool prints from Eldonius Rex and from Anthony Scroggins. They were over there with their little table selling the stuff. I bought some stuff. I got some cool stuff.
Yeah,
I'm very excited.
Got a lot of great prints.
To put it up. Yeah, man. I got some awesome stuff. It was so cool that those guys were there. And I got that game, Kabuto Sumo. Shout outs. And yes, I also went over to the Iron Winds booth. I don't really have any metal stuff. So I got some cool metal stuff. I got the Raven 2, right? To go with my Raven. I got the Menshin, which is like kind of like a raven. And I got the Tian Zong. I don't even know what that was. Brent, you were just like, oh, dude, you got to get this one. And I was like, sure, I guess.
You purchased this art from Anthony Stroggins and it has the Raven 2 in it. But also in that same art piece, it has the Tian Zong. And I was like, oh, dude, if you're going to get the Raven 2, you should get the Tian Zong to go with it, especially if you're doing a whole like Capellan thing.
It's cool. Oh, and yeah, I got the Crucible, that big one, that big heavy. It's like, man, this is a lot of metal in here, dude. Like, this is, I'm so excited to put that one together. It looks so cool. Oh, yeah. And also, I also like got a bunch of gifts and stuff for my family, a bunch of really cool art, stickers, pins, a couple of small prints. Just going through the artist alley. Like, if you're going there, don't forget to go through the artist alley and just check out. I mean, there's so much cool stuff, man. I got a bunch of cool gifts for people, for friends and family while I was there. Oh, and some other board games and stuff as well to play with my family. It was awesome. I did. Yay, man. I came back with a trunk full of stuff and I'm so happy.
Yeah. It was incredible. I mean, it really was. The amount of stuff you get to buy, the amount of stuff you get to see, and the people you meet. It's a great time. And we'll have to shout out some of the cool people we got to see in the next chapter.
Epilogue. So we're back home now. Gen Con is over. And I think more than anything, the most memorable part of it is the people we met, right? It's about the people. And we did. We met some really cool guys. And I want to take a moment to shout out some of the people we talked to. First of all, I don't know if I mentioned him yet, but, you know, friend of the show, John Helfers. That's our guy. He's such a nice guy. He's always, every time he saw me, he always took time to come over and say what's up. And I mean, that man is so busy too. Everyone was so busy. by the way. The whole Catalyst team, all those guys, they were slamming. But John, of course, always takes the time. He's the books guy. But I realized he's not just the books guy. He's like the everything guy. This dude's like working so hard.
That seemed to be the secret sauce that you get to discover when you're interacting with the Catalyst team. They're all everything guys.
Yeah.
They are all in there working every angle of BattleTech all the time. And it's incredible. And as you just said, John Helfers was awesome all the way through. Each time we went in there, as you said, if he was there, he took some time, talked to us for a little bit. And really, it's something where you're meeting all the different Catalyst team members, and you know thousands of people are going through that booth. And the fact that they can take that moment, they recognize you coming through, talk to you for a minute, check in with you. That's an incredible little detail in there that shows how much they care about not just the IP, but the fan base as well.
They're so cool.
And that goes, of course, for we got to meet Ray and Lauren and Randall, Bryn and Talon, all the different Catalyst team members. Like I said, they couldn't have had a moment to even breathe, yet they were still such amazing people.
They were sweating, dude. Man. And of course, you know, so many writers. There were so many writers there that I was like, oh man, of course, we already said, of course, Mr. Stackpole was there, and he was working too. Like I said, he was working the door. He was helping him tear down the booth and stuff. I was like, man, they got Mr. Stackpole working. They're all working. Oh, Michael Ciaravella, right? Very good BattleTech writer.
He was awesome.
He's awesome. Very, very nice man, right? He would also, you know.
Man, his voice, he's just got that voice that's made for radio. If you've listened to any of the live streams, that's how it is in real life, man.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Yes.
And we were glad to see all the copies of Damocles Sanction being sold. So
They sold out.
It was great.
And
you should absolutely read Damocles Sanction. It's one of my favorite books of some of the new Ilclan stuff.
Totally. Good book. Oh, I bought a copy. He signed it for me. That's what I mean. I actually, a whole bunch of these books, the authors signed for me. That's so cool. Even though I got the Founding of the Clans trilogy, Mr. Bills signed all three of them for me. How nice is that? Of course, Jason Hanza, as always.
Jason Hanza is a real one. We got to hang out with him a little bit outside of the Catalyst booth, and that it's always a good time.
Oh, yeah. He's great.
He's such a cool guy. Oh, and you know, we can't forget the other podcasters. We met a whole bunch of them.
It's impossible, man. All of them. It was great just putting faces to names, and everyone's so charming and funny. It was just a great time. And anytime we got a chance to hang out with all of the podcasters, it was just like one big party. It didn't matter where we were.
Oh, absolutely.
For better or worse.
And especially like, the Wolfnet team was doing so much work. They're putting on an AS350 tournament. They've got a lot of irons in the fire that they're going through, and they're still managing to make it a great time for everybody. So big shout out to Aaron and Andrew Kroll, Tommy Silency Raven, Charles Gideon, and Bloodbath. You guys were amazing all the way through.
What you said is so true. Like those Kroll brothers, they're bending over backwards to make sure that everyone has a great time at that tournament. I just want to say it's working. This being our first tournament, man, like your guys' efforts are not in vain. And it's awesome what you guys are doing. And thank you.
And Gideon was so much fun. We had such a great time cutting it up with Gideon throughout the show.
And Silent Sea Raven, thank you again for the cigar. I hope you know what it was called, because I want another one.
Yeah, he went into the convention saying, like, I really am in the mood to smoke a cigar. And sure enough, Tommy made his dream come true. Then we also had one of the members of the Valhalla Club there. We've already mentioned him. Bourbon was there. He's incredible. So much fun. Whenever him and Gideon got together, it was either a very long argument about tag and spotting rules or one of the best times you could have. So he made sure that if he was around, he was making everyone have a great time.
Well, I've got to say, like, okay, so Bourbon, I'm like exhausted first day of the tournament, and I like finally set all my stuff up, and I look over, and this son of a gun is wearing a Hanson's Rough Rider shirt, and he's like cut the he's cut the sleeves clean off, and he's just cheesing, and I like meet eyes, and I just start laughing at him, and he just like points to his shirt. He's like, "Yeah, you like that?" It was so funny. Yeah. Like I loved
Justice for Hanson's.
The look was it crushed it. He was also playing you know, Hanson's Rough Rider guys, so it was spot on. It was primo.
It was great. We had bourbon. Dressed for party at all times.
Also, the On the Origins and Armored Up guys, Mr. Brute, Chandler, and Derek were all there. It was a pleasure. Mr. Brute is a one-man party, and he was cracking me up the whole way. At one point, the whole group of podcasters went on a big walk, and he was just hooting and hollering, and it was a great time. Chandler... Also, just Chandler has this like sneaky smile, okay, like the whole time. He's just like always, he's got this like smile, like he's always up to something, and it's always funny when you find out what that is.
It's very true. And I look forward to our Little Dudes rematch in 2024.
And also Derek, who I mentioned, I played, we had a great fight. He was a cool dude. We took like a little car ride together. He made sure we got to where we were going, and thank God, because no one else was helping me.
Oh, yeah.
So thank you, Derek, for your VC duties you pulled in our vehicle.
Oh, you can't forget about Jedi Mech Warrior Bob.
No, we can't.
He's a real one. He's been with us since the beginning.
Saved us from adding an extra syllable to Lyran.
Thank you. As always, thanks, Bob.
No, he was a blast. We had so much fun with Bob along the way. He always had something going on, something to talk about. So he just kept it rolling with him the whole time. Great to finally get to meet him.
I just remembered I meant to pick up a Mjolnir. He was showing me his list, and he had got to pick up a Mjolnir. You were awesome, Bob. Thanks for hanging out.
And last but not least, we want to throw a quick shout out to Seth White Fox from the Mercenary Star podcast. He couldn't make it to the convention, but he did make sure that we've sent up stickers to give to the other podcasters. So they were awesome stickers. We got to throw them on there. I was just recently on the show covering the Snords Irregulars, and we had so much fun doing it. So I wanted to make sure we got a shout out for him there, even though he wasn't able to make it this year. And everyone else that we bumped into along the way, like I said, it really made the Gen Con experience a must schedule event for our years from here on out. We decided before we even finished the convention that we're coming back. So, like I said, that's thanks to the community around BattleTech, Catalyst, to the podcast community. Everyone there is incredible.
And have all the volunteers and workers at Gen Con itself.
This was Of Mechs and Men. I am Kanan Hill, and I was joined, as usual, by my two good friends, Brent and Aaron. As always, we think, I guess there's no author this week, but you don't like to thank Catalyst Game Labs for being such generous stewards of the property.
And incredibly hard workers.
And incredibly hard workers. And you, the listeners, we have an email, advice@heat.management. Please, any questions, corrections, suggestions, advice@heat.management. We are on social media, Twitter, Instagram, @ofmechsandmen. And please feel free to rate and review us on your podcast app of choice. But that was it. That was Gen Con. And we'll be back next episode with Spanner in the Works by Michael A. Stackpole. That is the short story included in the BattleTech Essentials box.
And lines right up with the episode where we left off on, so it's going to seamlessly pick up and fill in the gap before we come back after that episode and continue on with the Warrior series.
That's right. Until then.
Till next time.
Selah.